Hello and welcome back to the Botch web blog dev cast thing we do. Except this time it's not just me on my blog. This is Cassandra Marshall, the artist behind the Botch.
Hello.
Now, Cass, you're a discerning and well-traveled artist and possible part-time shark.
For certain definitions of well-traveled and discerning, sure, yeah.
Yeah. How was your involvement in the Botch? I mean, how do you want to start this off?
So, the Botch was a project that was all Talon. He was working on the mechanics, and I had been drawing, I believe, Borderlands-inspired character portraits at the time, and I believe that was what sort of caused you to realize that, hey, this style works quite well with the mechanics I have going. Is that correct?
Pretty much. When I looked at the Botch, I was trying to find artists who were good at single frame art, not a lot of action shots, but could carry a lot of character in a very small amount of visual space.
And the Borderlands portraits were very much inspired by, in the Borderlands games, if you haven't played them, you'll encounter a character, and a short cutscene or whatever will play where you see the character in action, and then it freezes, and it says, introducing character name, and it's meant to be a very much wallpaper-friendly, very, you know, this is who the character is and what they do in a single-frame piece of art. Sometimes it's a character getting punched in the face, there's a tooth flying, sometimes they're leaping on the back of a vehicle and knocking someone out, so they're very action heavy, but also very single frame, which was very very easy to do as a commission project. And also, I tend to really gravitate towards art styles, art projects that convey character. So it turned out being a really natural fit to adapt that to the Botch.
The style of single image you're talking about is very evocative of single frames of comic books, and also what in anime we know as eye catches or bumpers. So that worked out really excellently for trying to convey character, because in the Botch, there's no flavor text on any card. There's no, broadly speaking, everything in the Botch that wants to tell you about how things work is doing it through the artwork or through the name of the card. And that's pretty much all we had to work with.
When Talon came to me, he said, this is very artist-led. I want you to draw what you want to draw. And we decided that we would do the Secret World sort of roleplay-inspired characters. So these are characters from urban horror setting, and we would adapt them into criminals because we have been writing with these characters and talking about these characters. We are very familiar with these characters. So, for instance, when Talon said, I want a character to be the Goon, and the Goon is a criminal bouncer, I was like, all right, yeah, no, that's Sarah Willis from Secret World. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And that was a starting point.
This had the side effect that you were familiar with the design elements of the characters, but because you were reinterpreting them, you had enough flexibility. It was a really interesting thing because if you know those characters really well, you can look at them and say, all right, I can see what's changed. But if you don't know them, they still project their information quite excellently, cleanly.
And it turned out quite interesting in that we had, so the Botch, everyone who stars in the Botch is a criminal, except perhaps the schmuck, the cop, the detective, but everyone who's involved in the Botch is a little dirty, a little ready to dirty their hands in the criminal underworld. So you had 12 character concepts, and they each had to really project their own flavor. If you ever played the game Coup, Coup has significantly less classes, but I really wanted to sort of mimic Coup's ability where you glance at a card and you can tell who you're looking at, what they're capable of doing, and why they could be an asset to you. So the captain is this sort of grim, dirty dude with a scar. The ambassador is a government official. The duke is just covered in gold and jewels and silk and so on.
And by the way, if you're not familiar with the game Coup, you might know it as Kaup if you didn't go to school.
So,
very dignified podcast
for dignified folks. Yes. But yeah. So we wanted to have characters that really stood apart, and we started talking about which Secret World roleplay characters we would export into each role. And so I ended up with this interesting challenge, for instance, where the hitter, the heavy, and the goon were all, you know, criminal attack elements, and they were all women, and I wanted them to really stand out. I wanted each of them to look different and unique, and that was a challenge. You've all seen art, I'm sure, where all of the females have the same face and build, and they have different hair and clothes.
Especially I really wanted in to board avoid games that. And card games. That's a very real problem.
Right, so I really wanted to have them stand out and have them be their own unique characters. And an interesting side effect of that sort of design going in is the botch has one white cis man, and everyone else is some other flavor of gender or, you know,
Gender, sexuality, or romantic minority, I believe, is the,
yes,
the generally accepted
term. That is the correct way to phrase it.
Yeah, one of the other things that Cass is kind of selling herself short on this is that there were a couple of instances where the design of the game was still somewhat in flux as she's producing this artwork. And there are a couple of times where she brought to me artwork for a card, and that made me look at them and go, oh, that's a totally different way to consider that character, because all I'd given her was the name. One of them was the detective. I thought of the detective when I first scribbled them down as the detective is just the upgraded, scarier version of the cop. But instead, what we got was this wonderful, beaten-down private eye-style character. And so that shifted the mechanics of the game as well, because suddenly the cop and the detective are no longer meant to look at each other as comparison points, but rather as opposition points, which has implications for the way that the game plays out when both of them are in the game. It's really interesting.
And there was one thing that I thought was interesting. It's, earlier I mentioned the hitter, the heavy, and the goon, and they're all individual cards, but they, you know, if you're brand new to the game, I was really worried someone who was brand new to the game would go, shit, do I have the heavy? Do I have the hitter? So I believe the hitter is sort of a spec ops. I imagine someone splurged on a really high class assassin. The goon is sort of in-house criminal talent who's wearing a tank top and a smile and is ready to rough someone up.
That's and, the heavy now.
Oh, right. And then the goon is I believe the Grace export.
Yeah, the goon is Grace.
Yeah, in a trench coat, cracking her knuckles, and doesn't look quite intimidating in looks until you realize you know, the confidence that she's projecting in her violence, right? So three similar roles that all were designed really differently from the ground up, and I thought it turned out really well.
A thing I love about the goon in projection is that a friend of ours was looking over the cards as we were doing it and saying, I'm really worried that this is going to convey that the black character who'd been drawn at that point is the bad guy, and someone else just pointed at the goon's card and it says, her card says hurt someone. I think they're all bad guys.
Yeah, and the botch was interesting because it was interesting to have where I think the closest thing to a hero is the cop or the schmuck, and the schmuck is standing there quite innocently as someone snatches her wallet. So clearly the criminals have it together when it comes to the botch, and the good guys are a little outclassed, which is something I really enjoyed.
And really interestingly was we went through two different iterations of the schmuck, where at first the schmuck was read as, oh, like the schmuck is like a jerk character. This is the criminal that nobody likes. And then it was like, no, the schmuck is the innocent person, the one who doesn't know about all this crime going on.
Speaking of crime,
crime.
The amateur went through another process where I'm like, so they're new to crime. I guess they're not very good at crime. And I designed this very earnest character leaning into the frame, smiling and waving. I think very, like, modestly dressed. And Talon's like, no, that's not quite right. That's not quite what I was going for. And we talked about it, and I realized the amateur is not someone who's, I mean, they're bad at crime, but they're not necessarily new to crime. In fact, they love crime. And so the character, to demonstrate how much this character loved crime, I wrote crime on her t-shirt, which seemed really, seemed very eloquent, I thought.
It's also had the effect of every time a new player has seen that card, they've looked at it and gone, what an idiot.
Oh, that is delightful. See, what I thought would be the big what an idiot tell was the point that she is muzzle sweeping herself.
Yes. Which, again, lots of character packed into just the art of a small number of cards. This is something that I really want, and I know that there are some amateur designers listening to this. I want to put forward this. There is a particular genre of art that people generate, especially when they're learning, which I kind of offhandedly refer to as deviant art chic, where you're mostly just drawing a single character in a single moment doing something kind of cool or projecting a bit about who they are. And if you want to move from that kind of art into animation, you have to be able able to do it from dozens of angles, and you have to be able to do it from dozens and dozens of frames, and it's a huge ask. And if you want to do that on a more professional portraiture level, you're going to have to get into a whole bunch of extra levels of lighting and whatnot. Whereas The Botch, as a card game, individual static images of a character just being themselves very hard at the viewer is really valuable. You only have... You had 12 drawings to tell us the story of 12 characters, and in so doing, you captured... there is no one I've handed a card to and they haven't gone, oh, I get it.
Oh, that's delightful to hear. There were a few things I did that I'm not sure have been noticed. One thing I did was certain characters are farther back from the camera, so the cop, the hitter, the schmuck.
The courier?
You'll notice that there's more of them in the frame because they're farther... Yeah, the courier. They're farther back from the action, whereas the rival, the grifter, the boss, the goon, they're all closer up, right? Yeah. Eye contact is another thing I did. Certain
The boss and the rival are explicitly not looking out of frame, and the grifter explicitly is. Like, the grifter is looking straight at you out of the card.
Yeah, and I thought that was an interesting way to sort of demonstrate which characters were in the mess and which ones just got caught up in it. And I thought that was another way where the detective is very close up. You know, she's very... It's her shoulders and her chest and her head in the frame. And then the cop is more... He's distant from the action.
As a point of oppositional art, the cop is square on, square shoulders. His shoulders are aligned with the top frame of the card, and he's looking straight out of the card at you. The detective is turned to the side. She is literally not looking at you at all. She's looking off to the side. It's a very classic noir pose for this very beaten down kind of private detective character. And it's a really nice contrast between these two characters.
And it's no wonder that they're beaten down when you have folk like the amateur running around.
another example, and this... I think it's my favorite in the what it led to, in that there was one card which we had a name for cycling a bunch, and it was originally The Fake, and then one of the items was The Fakes, and it was like, and I decided that's too close, I have to get rid of that. The Fake is someone who isn't really there. They're a false identity that is trying to get that false identity killed off so they can, you know, go and live their life with their diamonds. And what that meant was I had no idea how to convey this character at all. Like, how do you tell this? How do you convey... project the character of this person doesn't actually exist. And what Cass did, and I thought this was absolutely genius, is all the other pictures of the characters, they are them in frame. It's the character. And on The Fake, which became The Imposter, it's an ID being held up to the eye of the card. Not even by a hand. You don't get to see anything of the actual person, but you're seeing an ID photo. And the ID photo is itself so ambiguous that I've had someone ask, oh, does this game have an NB character in it?
Yeah, and the Fake was a lot of fun to design because at one point I think we discussed having the character in frame and having them wearing a paper bag on their head or having the big rupture marks. And I think that was sort of the compromise where, like, yeah, the person in that ID is... Honestly, I couldn't even tell you. Are they NB? Maybe. I mean, I sort of designed them to be sort of very obviously disguising every... Like, big glasses, big heavy coat.
Yeah,
they're just mussed up, just... They could be anyone.
Almost Chevy Chase-ish style distance. Like, the Chevy Chase style character, I can't remember the name of the movie, but there's one where the whole front of the video box is he's holding up an ID, and the ID has multiple different fake IDs spiraling off from it. But in the case of the imposter, because you don't have that kind of room, instead you have these heavy layers around an already ambiguous character. Effectively, you are looking at a picture, and because it's on an ID card, the ID card is part of a secondary frame. So you have the card, and then inside the card you have a card, and inside that card you have a picture, and inside that picture you have a person who is wrapped up and layered and it's a really clever use of a very small amount of space.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a couple of little stories that I've been telling. So for instance, you'll notice the hand who is taking the wallet from the schmuck and the hand who is holding the fake are the same hand, and they belong to the grifter.
See, I missed that.
See, it's something that's very, very easy to miss. And it's not, it obviously doesn't affect your understanding. I mean, you're the one who made the game, so you obviously don't, you know, enjoy it on any less of a level for not knowing that. But yeah, the grifter who has five aces and the big pile of winnings, she stole the schmuck's wallet, and then presumably the fake was like, here, collateral, you know that I'm not faking because here's my wallet, and then they take it out, and it's like, oh no. So that's a little thing. that I set up in the cards. Again, like, I don't even know. Is it canon? Maybe?
Another thing you did, and not to sell your work on the characters short, but the items. In some cases, the items were really, really ambiguous. For example, there is a pair of items called the evidence and the books. And mechanically, they're almost identical. The only real difference is you kind of don't want to get caught with the evidence. The mechanistic distinct... The fact that they are so similar wasn't really known to Cass when she did the art. But when she did the art, we got the evidence, which is like the colors used in the evidence are of a sort of tan file folder and a very dark background. Whereas the books, you have a bright blue background element, which further... Like, you don't mistake these two cards. You don't look at those cards and go, they are the same card. But you do look at them and go, oh, these are similar somehow. Just glancing at the art.
Yeah, and playing Coup was a huge help for going into this game, where, like, you need to be able to visually distinguish cards at a glance. Also, I have a feeling that this game will have something else in common with Coup, where the person who bought the game will be like, can you please not with the corners? Can you please wash your... That's a problem with all sorts of... But I feel like the background, which I believe is white, yellow, and black, will hold up to that a lot better than Coup, which is this very almost white-gray.
Yeah, that was actually something we did explicitly look into when we started working on card games, in that white, when you damage the front... Like, this will happen, all right? I'm sorry. I know there are some people who like to keep their games as pristine as possible, and if you have card sleeves and if you have a bunch of very tidy friends, it probably won't happen. But if you ever get the slightest nick of damage to your card and you have to smooth it back down again, if the facing of the card is white, that will fold faintly, and you will be able to hold up a side full of cards and you'll be able to see it. If they're black, it's harder to see, which is part of why I made the botches aesthetic when I started. Black and yellow, because those are very... because the yellow is a very grungy color, and, you know, using deliberately spackled paint style to try and make sure that when that damage does happen, it will have a minimal impact on your game.
Which is a good decision, I think. Looking at the character cards, one of the big thing... I'm just scrolling through the art as we talk. And one thing you said is you talked about how much you love to imagine the characters like the courier and the amateur walk into a bank together, and they look at each other, and they both think, oh no.
Yeah. I especially, again, to go back to the items, there were a couple of items where I wound up, like, just these are good coincidences, almost. With one of the items is a Hotline Miami reference. It's a bike helmet, and you basically, anytime anyone tries to hurt you and you're wearing the bike helmet, you can headbutt them. And at the worst case scenario, if you've got the bike helmet, you could just put the bike helmet on your head and you go around clubbing everyone into unconsciousness. That's an option. That meant that card needed a lot of text. And when Cass gave me the art for the helmet, it was a smaller piece of art than for most of the other cards. I'm like, oh, I could just move this up the card and give the card more text, which worked out really well.
What was interesting is you said this is going to have a lot of blood on the back. It's going to have a custom back with a lot of blood. And I actually went through a couple of iterations where I'm like, hey, here's some blood. And I stared at it and I'm like, this is a Hotline Miami reference. I'm just going to leave it blank. I don't know how much blood Talon wants. Yeah. I assume it's more than I'm putting on here. And then he gives me the final card and I'm like, yep, that's a significant amount of blood. All right.
There is more blood on that card's art than there is art. Like, the blood decals take up more space than the actual drawing you did.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, probably for the best that I left that up to your creative vision. There's a couple of small Easter eggs, actually. The boss,
I was just about to ask about that.
Yep, that's... So that implies that the cop is on to the boss.
Yep.
She's a suspect, at least. The crowbar is the Half-Life crowbar.
I noticed that there's a pair of initials on the badge, which are neatly hidden by the words cop and detective, so it's kind of hard to make out what they are.
So like we said earlier, these characters are from the Secret World roleplay, and when Talon was initially being like, who do you think fits into these sort of categories, these archetypes, some of them were like, the hitter could be a lot of people, but everyone was like, the cop is Russell Kobayashi.
Yeah,
instantly.
The cop is straight-laced, good-natured, and incredibly honest. Yeah, it's Russell. We don't have any options.
I was a little pleased when people were like, the schmuck is an innocent person who's caught up in forces beyond their control and is just trying to do the right thing. Yeah, that's Cass Havelock, who is my character. And I'm like, yeah, that seems about right. I'll go for that, yeah.
there's another... I'm pretty sure this isn't a deliberate thing. but there's a, in the books, there's a calculator with a series of numbers on it, and I'm sure that number doesn't mean anything, but when I look at it as I'm, like, leafing through the cards, it looks like the word Bert has been written, because there's an 8, and there's a space, then there's a 12, I think it's a 12, and it looks like, yes, an R. And then there's a space and there's a 7 and my brain just goes, oh, Bert.
That is not intentional. I will say that it was, I almost put, you know, 8008, you know, boobies. I almost did that. And then I
That'll
was like,
That'll be in the
no.
special edition of the botch.
All right, we'll do it. 007 is a Bond reference in the books.
Yeah, the dog is just a classic Sheeb, isn't it?
Yes, that is a Sheba.
And this,
mostly,
this wasn't
I wanted to go with the dog. I almost went with there's someone who is our friend who has a rescue dog named Chester, and Chester is, I believe, a mixed breed.
I don't know what Chester is.
He looks a little like a mop. And what I wanted to go for with the dog was something that like very that read as something that's like where even the most cold-hearted criminal would empathize with that face. And I felt like a mop dog, while adorable. Some people, you know, there have been like Disney shorts or whatever where those type of dogs are the villains.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go with a very unambiguous, the dog is your friend. Do not harm the dog.
This isn't a deliberate reference on Cass's part, but the bottle, again, the text of the bottle wound up being very voluminous. So when I got back the art of the bottle and it was such this nice, stark, sits in frame shot and it's actually really steady, in order to convey the odd alcoholic feeling of the whole thing, I tilted the text box.
Which I thought was a nice nice touch, because I believe you went through a couple of iterations. One of them was a little crazy, like every line was tilted a different direction. But it turned out quite nice in the end.
Well, and this is an accessibility point. I showed the tilted text line to a number of friends who have dyslexia family kind of conditions, difficulty reading particular fonts, difficulty reading long lines of text or whatnot, and we worked through to find one that could still convey that off-centered feeling without being actually disorienting or unpleasant to look at.
I feel like, the end result turned out quite well. The shame was an interesting card.
For anyone who's never worked with Caspar, a lot of the time these things weren't being handed to me with notes. What would happen would be I'd go, because this is around Christmas time, I'd go to the shops and try and get like some shopping done for Christmas, and I'd come home and Cass would be like, I got bored, so here are 12 pictures.
I believe I might have been like, here's a link, the diamonds or whatever, like there would be a couple of notes. Well, when I'm sending 12 things at once, obviously things got confused. So I sent him, there's the abstract concept of hurt, the goon hurts people, the helmet hurts people. So I sent him a card to represent hurt, and he was like, oh, okay, this is the shame, is what he returned it as. And I was like, that's actually better.
Yeah. Well, it's someone with a bloody nose and a bloody lip, which, that conveys for some reason to my, like, the ways you get hurt in this game are things like gunshots and crowbar attacks. So just a bloody nose and a bloody lip, that very much has the feeling of, like, the boss backhanding someone with one of her big diamond-studded ring hands.
Oh, yeah, the boss, absolutely. Her hands aren't in frame, but if they were, they would just be, like, bedazzled. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, anything else you wanted to wrap? Anything else you wanted to throw in, or we're going to wrap up?
I think I just wanted to say I tried really hard to create something where every card has character, every card is pretty unique. You know, this is actually a majority women game. I think I actually said to Talon at some point, "Oh God, this is like so many women in this game."
And, has feminism gone too far?
Yeah. As we would joke, if you're not shrieking, has feminism gone too far during your game dev sessions? What are you even doing? But, you know, we made a feminist game, we made a diverse game, and that was important to us, but that came secondary to having cards with character, cards that read well, and I think it turned out really well. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, I was really stoked to get the whole thing done, because I have, in the process of finishing the new year, I cleaned up a whole bunch of my image directories and a bunch of my work directories, and one of them was just looking at the very first card I ever designed for the botch, which was to just show Cass, hey, this is how I would be using your artwork. And it's one of her Borderlands wallpaper pictures thrown under the picture of the goon, thrown under the text of the goon's card. And I'm just like, oh yeah, this is pretty much exactly how it started, and Cass has now walked you through that whole arc of things in one, you know, half hour chunk.
So yeah, Talon and I are both, we're both workhorses. Honestly, we both sit down and we get stuff done. And this isn't to say that if anyone else has a different work process that it's inferior or anything. This is just, we have very parallel work processes. So hopefully there'll be lots more collaboration and products from us in the future.
And if you want to make games, this whole game happened in 10 days. And you might have noticed we have referenced in these blogcasts about the botch. We have talked about Coup. We have talked about Masquerade. We've talked about Skulls and Roses. We've talked about a whole host, Secret World Roleplay for crying out loud. There are all these games that we have brought together in our own experience and made into a new game. And you can do that too. If you like games, if you like playing games, if you like partaking in games, you can make games. You totally can. And this kind of thing is just another example of that. And I really hope that you've had a chance to listen to Cass talk about this, that you believe in yourself. You totally can do these things.
And if you don't believe in yourself, believe in us, because we believe in you.